Welcome, everyone. In light of having to postpone our in-person ILS NYC conference in 2022, which is now pushed back to April 22nd because of the emergence of the Omicron variant of the pandemic, we wanted to run some interviews with our kind sponsors of the event so that we can showcase their thought leadership and also thank them for their support. So tickets are still available for the in-person conference, and we're looking forward to being in New York on April the 22nd. So please do visit the Artemis website and you can get your ticket for the event today. For this one of our virtual event videos, I'm delighted to welcome Thomas Knuth, the Vice President of Marketing at DNexus, one of our bronze sponsors for the conference. Welcome, Thomas.
Thanks for having me.
Sure, it's great to see you. So, as ever, we're always looking into the future with our conferences, trying to define what's going to come down the line for the insurance and securities investor base. And DNexus is a specialist provider of software for cyber risk quantification. And your de-risk insurance product enables quantification of the cyber risk of industrial enterprise clients and client portfolios for underwriters. So you're trying to help reinsurers and also ILS investors gain visibility and understanding of the cyber risks they may face. So this is a really good hot topic in terms of cyber being one of the perennial areas that the ILS market is looking at with an increasing appetite as they get a larger understanding of the risk. And companies like DNexus and yourselves, Thomas, are helping to expand that appetite more quickly, I believe. So it'll be interesting to hear what you've got to say today. So to begin, perhaps you could give us a bit of background on DNexus for our viewers, as you're a relatively new company. How has your strategy developed and what is the DNexus offering today?
Sure, thank you so much. We're a new company, and you summarized it quite well. I mean, first and foremost, DNexus is a cyber risk quantification SaaS company. We have a SaaS platform offered via the cloud, and we take a Bayesian approach, a Bayesian modeling to be exact, like you'd see in clinical trials, that is almost certain to be incorrect at predicting the future, but also certain to be the most correct assumption based off of previous and historical data to predict, you know, outcomes for the future. In this case, we are quantifying cyber risk's financial impact on companies and therefore underwriters of risks for those companies. And the implications are obviously tiered from that, that initial benefit and that initial approach. So first and foremost, our offering is structured with a platform called DRisk. That DRisk platform is brokered in two products at the moment. It'll probably expand and be brokered even more granular over the months and years on our roadmap. We already have plans for that, but we have DRisk Industrial and we have DRisk Insurance. And I like to start with industrial, even though we're an insurance and ILS topic right now, because it's so foundational and important to solving some of the underwriter risk quantification challenges around cyber risk. We look at sites and geodistributed multi-site environments, essentially industrial organizations, with that Bayesian approach to take in obviously in summary and an abridged version, disparate data sources. And we'll go over that probably in previous questions, but from cybersecurity tools to threat intel, and of course our own proprietary questionnaire and business intelligence gathering process to quantify risk exposure in real time and on a continuous basis. And then obviously triage that down to multi-organizations with multi-sites for the insurer, and of course the portfolio for the reinsurer and relevant for ILS investors. And so we're trying to take that qualitative issue that's been basically the challenge, and I think you could say the chink in the armor, so to speak, of cyber risk insurance products that's forward, and move that towards a real evidence-based quantitative approach to judging that business impact.
Mm. I like the fact that you said the word continuous there as well, because it's clearly cyber risk is very hard to quantify in the first place, but if you don't have a continuous overview of the peril or threat as it develops, you're really going to miss out on some of the potential exposure angles there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we definitely want to take a cybersecurity practitioner's approach first. We want to structure risk implications and attack chains, you know, using things like the MITRE ATT&CK framework, and various different, cyber security dominant risk frameworks, so that we can structure those approaches for companies and underwriters according to, you know, industry standard. So that's very important.
Yeah, great. So what do you see as issues the cyber market is currently facing? I mean, capacity is one area that's always been discussed as challenging, but what else is an issue in cyber insurance in your view?
I think foundationally, it's a data problem. So I talked about qualitative versus quantitative right now from, and it's, and of course I come from the cybersecurity background, right? And we have some great people on our leadership board, including Jeffrey Sturgis, you know, 30 plus years in reinsurance. You know, the way that he describes the issue there, and it makes a lot of sense from my side of the table, is right now, you know, underwriting has a deficiency because it's qualitative only. We're taking assumptions and we're trying to model those. There's, you know, that results in minimum capacity setting, a loss reserving deficiency, accumulation assessment and control deficiency, and an issue with catastrophic scenario or like loss event analysis. So on one end, we know that cyber risk and loss events are kind of analogous to a natural catastrophe and their impact, their and how often they're going to occur, but it's completely different because cyber risk data is dynamic. It's one of the first, I guess you could say, insurance products that the insurance and ILS industry has been able to see in the last number of years, decades. But at the same time, they don't have, you know, a data actuary that's, you know, 50, 60, 70, 100 years old, like they do with natural catastrophe. This is how much we're likely to lose. This is how many people are insured. This is our capacity setting. This, all those things go out the window with cybersecurity because, well, cybersecurity products are evolving. There's a lot of innovation in the space. Cyber threats, yeah, malicious actors are also innovating and they're innovating faster and loss events are changing all the time. And there's secondary, you know, tertiary loss events. And there's no vendor agnostic single source of truth or approach to reconcile that dynamic form of cyber risk data. And so that's the main problem foundationally. We view that insurers, reinsurers, and ILS investors have when it comes to cyber insurance. It's new and there's not a single source of data and a disciplined way of actually calculating their risk exposure so they can do other things with their investment strategies.
Yeah, as you said, it is really one of the true new classes of insurance business and one of the only ones. So I guess we're building that base of data still, and that's going to take some time till people get the right understanding behind the risk. But capacity, as I said, is another challenging area, and this has affected the cyber insurance market quite significantly, really, a lack of reinsurance and retro at times. And you're at Dynexus trying to help reinsurance underwriters and ILS funds to get a better understanding of cyber risk, which ultimately should enable more capital to be deployed into the cyber classes of business. But why do you feel the Dynexus approach can unlock capacity for cyber?
In summary, it's the quality of the data that we're pooling, right? So it's operational based. And as I said, it's real time, it's continuous, and it's vendor agnostic. And we're sourcing data. We want to be vendor agnostic. When I say vendor agnostic, what I refer to is what vendors are we pooling cyber threat intelligence and risk data from? And so we broker data sources into three different areas. That would be outside in, which is going to be threat intelligence, basically cybersecurity tools, vendors, industrial firewall, intrusion defense, asset inventory. So real solutions out there that are pulling real operational data and looking according to the whole stack of the industrial environment. So that's critical, obviously, for providing us with a huge data lake that is continuously updated, but also allowing us to have a data lake that is impervious to one vendor saying that they have a unique feature or a different way of quantifying a cyber threat or alert a different way from one of their direct competitors. You know, because if you are an ILS reinsurer or insurer of cyber risk, what do you do with that information, right? You have one client that has an ecosystem of, you know, two or three vendors, and then another client with completely different two or three vendors. And they both are answering, they're both going through the assessment process the same way, but they have different sources of truth. It really leaves you kind of, you know, throwing your hands up. Dynexus solves that problem by gathering that information, taking an industry and purpose-built approach to our whole GUI and basically deployment process through detailed questionnaires that are structured by, you know, according to the MITRE ATT&CK framework and things like this, and really understanding each operation of a host environment in which an insurer would basically provide a cyber risk insurance product to. And we're providing both the end user, the industrial enterprise, as well as the insurer, the ILS investor, with risk prioritization reduction, prioritization, return on investment, net present value, payback period. And as I mentioned earlier, we're doing this with a Bayesian modeling approach. And so that's really, in summary, I'm explaining all the different modeling structures and insight that end users have. But when it comes down to it, it has to do with being vendor agnostic and sourcing quality data that is disparate and orchestrating that data in a way that really focuses on business impact. That's the main key of helping our clients achieve capacity, price their policy a little bit more accurately, and make sure that when they take on a client, that they are taking on a client that they're comfortable with the policy and the cyber risk product that they've given them.
Yeah, and that's absolutely critical. And as you just described there, really, you're wrapping almost understanding around something that currently is very challenging for the industry to understand. And the only way to do that really is with advanced technology these days. So one of the things I read in your product information is that Dynexus wants to help underwriters identify an optimal allocation to cyber risks. Now, this resonates strongly for the ILS community because they're obviously looking to make optimal allocations within their overall portfolios to new classes of business like cyber. So how can Dynexus's products help with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. According to our own estimates, and we think that it could be larger than this, there's a capital crisis or a risk gap, so to speak, in North America alone of around $1 trillion, $1 trillion, US dollars. Yet cyber risk transfer is still below 1%. Now, when I talked about the other product and asset class of natural catastrophe insurance products, that's around 30%. So you have this massive total available market that the ILS investor community, as well as the insurance and reinsurance community, not only wants to address, but kind of needs to. And then on the other side of the table, the industrial asset owner, the owner of critical infrastructure, needs to have insurance and also wants this as well. So it's a very unique situation where both sides of the table want the same thing and have the same problem, but they're just sitting on opposite sides of the table. I think that the main approach that we're helping is kind of redundant what I answered in the previous question, is providing the most accurate, honestly, the world's first ICS and OT specific. And when I say ICS, industrial control systems, and OT is operational technology, OT specific, purpose-built risk quantification platform that is orchestrating the data from the various cybersecurity vendors and solutions out there in the market, from IT, the endpoint solutions, all the way to the industrial solutions that we all recognize and see a lot of funding pre-IPO on today, marrying that with unique business operations, their current distribution across the globe where the applications are located, as well as threat intel databases, both public and government ran, as well as proprietary. We are providing that orchestration. We're providing that Bayesian approach to risk modeling that allows the ILS investor and the reinsurance community to basically value their value at risk at various different risk scenarios regarding cyber risk only.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Interesting you mentioned things like control systems, as that's an area that often comes up when I talk to people about cyber risk, these discrete potential exposures that can have enormous economic ramifications. So it's very interesting that you're focused in that area as well.
Well, when you look at the MITRE ATT&CK framework, you're going to see initial access vectors. Now, this is a little bit where I get in the weeds with a nerdy one when it comes to cybersecurity, but it's so important. These initial access vectors are different ways of cyberists to enter the network, and then they propagate. Basically, there's lateral movement. And then there's almost infinite different ways in which that cyber threat could propagate, move laterally to affect a different part of the network. They could be the same application. There could be two cyber attacks with two separate, let's say, environments or clients within a portfolio that are roughly the same size and have to produce the same thing and have the same application. If they propagate and move to one area of the network with PLCs, you know, remote terminal units, basically the factories that make things happen, our lights turn on, streets run. If it goes to one area of the application, I mean, things go boom. The loss implications are huge, right? And they're not just primary. They're not just secondary. They're tertiary. No solution out there is really doing that accurately right now. And that's really what insurance requires, right? Cybersecurity tooling can only say, hey, these are the devices in your network. This is anomalous activity. These are alerts. Please manage these alerts. But can they actually say, well, this threat's entered your network. It's and have the contextual analysis to say it's propagated here. This is an application that affects X, you know, X output. It's located in nation Y. Therefore, your cyber risk exposure has gone from, you know, yay big to yay big. And these are the actions that you need to take to adjust and manage that risk. Now, you obviously want to take a two-pronged approach. You want to shore up and mitigate that risk internally with tooling, with basically cybersecurity actions. But you also want to be able to prove that you've done that and find the appropriate level of risk that you want to basically offshoot and move to a reinsurer. And the reinsurer needs to have that same information to say if they want to do that and at what cost. And DeNexus with the DRisk platform, DRisk Industrial and DRisk Insurance, we're the only ones right now that are looking at cyber risk in the capacity of critical infrastructure from that lens.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Very, very technical, as you said, but it really is important that the industry kind of gets up to speed with some of these finer points to do with cyber risk if it's going to become an area of meaningful expansion for the ILS market. So finally, Thomas, be interested to hear what your advice would be to ILS funds or investors on the potential for expanding into cyber risk.
Well, last year, US utilities were attacked on average, I think the number is 300 times per week, with an increase of 50% just from earlier in 2021. The ransomware rates last year in 2021 increased like 500% from 2020 rather. And then also coupling that, we know firsthand that a lot of insurance for some of our clients, partners and such within the industrial asset owner space have seen their insurance premiums raise considerably. So I'm sure that I'm not telling anybody in this community anything new. They know that insurance has kind of been going through a time of change and some loss and a lot of different insurance products over the last year for a lot of different reasons. Cyber risk insurance is needed. And so it's needed to basically help obviously the way that we depend on critical services, infrastructure, and energy be more safe and reliable for us. But it's also a huge business opportunity that I think will simultaneously support and cultivate innovation. Things like cyber risk insurance in general come about because there's a need, not because there's a want or a demand for it per se. Once it's implicated though, we're gonna see the market grow substantially. We're gonna see cyber security tools and software, I think, find growing budgets for them. And we're gonna see cybersecurity and risk management not become a cybersecurity practitioner like a CISO or CTO, conversation only. It's going to be a board level conversation as well. So I think thinking about that in that lens should make, at least we hope, and we're pretty sure that it will make ILS investors and reinsurers excited that there is a secondary and, you know, multidimensional support for and need for their product. But it's also really shows how big the market is, that it's growing fast already, and it's also underserved. So I think I'd say tread quickly, but also wisely. And we hope to help you do that wisely.
Thanks, Thomas. That's really great advice for our listeners. So really appreciate your time today, Thomas. Thank you very much. And thanks for the support for the conference. To everybody watching, you will be able to meet Dynexus, Thomas and some of his colleagues, hopefully at the event in April. So please do visit the Artemis website and you can get your tickets today. Thanks again, Thomas. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much. Look forward to meeting you all.